Again, Psalm 19. We all have people in life that we know that we can count on. We know that no matter what happens, they are there for us. If we need help moving furniture, they'll be there. If we get stuck by the road, they'll be there. If we need an alibi, they'll be there. If you're hurting, they'll be there. If you need someone to encourage you, they will be there. If you get off the right path, they will be there to help you get back on the right path. There are some people in life that you can just count on to lift you up, to refresh your soul, and help you do what's right. This is what the Word of God does for us. God's Word is a guide for our life. God's Word is something that strengthens and encourages and lifts up. And as we begin the new year, let's look at the beauty of the Word of God. I pray that as we enter into 2023, that each of us would dig deep into the Word of God, that we would spend more and more time in the Word of God, and that we would allow it to transform and change our lives. As we begin 2023, we are going to see just how awesome and wonderful the Word of God is. Psalm 19, beginning in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Let us pray. Lord, as we begin 2023, I pray that you would just fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we would see the beauty and the power and the importance of the Word of God in our lives. Lord, I pray now that I would sit down and that you would stand up, and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take control and that you would take charge of this service. I pray that each and every heart and life would be touched by your Word today. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We give this time to you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. So as we begin to look at this, the first thing that we see is that the Word is perfect and sure. Verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The Word of God is perfect. I believe this is a great place to start when we're looking at the Word of God, because the Word of God is perfect. It helps us to see that it has no errors. We can know that what God wanted in the Bible is what is in the Bible. Everything that God wanted in the Bible is in the Bible. The Bible has no fault, no failures, no errors. It is completely and totally perfect. We can know that it's not made up stories, but it's what God has given to us. In 2 Peter, Peter says, for we did not follow cleverly contrived myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice when it came from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. We also have the prophetic word strongly confirmed, and you do well to pay attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you know this, no prophecy of Scripture comes from the prophet's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of men. Instead, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so as we look at this passage, what we see is everything that is written in the Bible may have been written by a man, but it was written by a man under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, everything written in the Bible is the Word of God that is given to us. 2 Timothy, Paul says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. The word of God is perfect. It is faultless. It has no errors. The fact that God's word is perfect helps us to see that it is complete. It's all that we need. The Bible is God's word that has been recorded and handed down to us. All that we read in this book comes from God, and it is key for you and I as to how we are to live our lives. For in it, we learn to love God and love others. It is in the Bible we see our need to love God and love others as we see what Jesus says in Mark chapter 12, where it says, one of the scribes approached when he heard them debating and saw that Jesus answered them well. He asked him, which command is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. So it is in the perfect word of God that we see how we are to live our lives. We are to love God and to love others. Since the word is perfect, it has all that we need for life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3 says, his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. The word of God, the Bible, it is perfect, it is complete. And it renews our life. In it, we find hope, joy, and peace. In it, we see how much God loves us and how he restores us, even when we do not deserve it. The text says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The psalmist tells us that the word of God converts the soul. The word convert means to bring back, return. It carries the tone of repentance. You know, that's what this word means. It means to return to God, to come back to. The word used for soul means life or breath. So what we see here is that the perfect word of God brings our life back to where it needs to be. It renews or revives or restores our lives. That's what the word of God does. It converts the soul. It restores the soul. It brings us back to where we need to be in our relationship with God. It is in the word of God that we see that only Jesus can give us true life. Only in Christ can we come into a relationship with God. Once we give our hearts and our lives to Jesus, the word helps us to see our need to repent and return when we disobey. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. It is in the perfect word of God that you and I find that we need to refresh and restore our souls. Do you want to have a refreshed, renewed, restored soul in 2023? Do you want your life to be fresh? Do you want it to be renewed? Do you want it to be restored? It begins with the word of God. It begins with taking serious this book. The word of God is perfect. The text also helps us to see that the word of the Lord is sure. The psalmist says the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Sure means reliable, faithful, permanent. Again, this helps us to see that the Bible can be trusted. When we trust it and learn from it, it can make us wise. The best way that you and I can gain wisdom is through living out the word of God. And we need to understand that there's a big difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is knowing stuff. Wisdom is knowing what to do with the stuff we know. And so wisdom is not simply knowing the Bible, but applying it. Wisdom is living out what it actually says when we put into practice what it teaches. The Bible gives wisdom to all who read it and apply it to their lives. And I love this statement where it says, making wise the simple. In other words, the Bible can be understood even by the simple. The Bible was never intended to be complicated, hard to read, or hard to understand. God has always wanted people to be able to pick up His Bible, to read it, and to understand it and apply it to their lives. Because when we read it and we understand it, we're able to apply it and we're able to gain wisdom. The Bible gives us wisdom on how to get to heaven. It is in the Bible that we learn that the only way to heaven is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. It is in the Bible that we see that we must put our hope and our faith in Jesus Christ, that we must accept Him as our personal Lord and Savior. There is, when it comes to salvation, God has done everything. All we have to do is believe, but we have to believe. It is in the Bible we learn how we can know God personally. We learn that God loves us and cares deeply for us and that God wants to have a relationship with us. And so as we read the Bible, we gain wisdom on who God is and how much He loves us and how we can know Him more and more and how we can know Him better. In the Bible, we learn how to live. The Bible is a manual on how to live our lives. It tells us how we are to be the men and women that God has called us to be. It tells us how we are to love God and how we are to love others. It helps us to see and to know what is right and what is wrong. It is a standard by which we are to live our lives. And so as we read the perfect law of the Lord, as we read the perfect word of God, we gain wisdom on how to live our lives, knowing that we can trust it each and every step of the way. The word of the Lord is perfect and sure. Next, we see that the word of the Lord is right and pure. Verse 8 and 9 says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together." The word of God is right and true. The word does not lie. We can trust it. The word used for true means trustworthy or faithful. Throughout these few verses that we're looking at today in Psalm 19 as we begin 2023, we see over and over again the truth that we can trust the Word of God. It is very important that you and I realize and understand that we can trust the Word of God, that we can trust the Bible. I like to share this incredible fact concerning the Bible, because people will often say, well, how can we trust it when it was written so long ago? It has been translated many times from many different languages. How can we know that the Bible that we have today is true and trustworthy? And that is a good question that people often have. And here, let's put it into perspective. Everything that we know about Julius Caesar is written in 10 manuscripts written 1,000 years after his time. A manuscript is a handwritten document. So there's 10. 10 manuscripts concerning the life of Julius Caesar, what went on, written 1,000 years. How often do you hear people arguing the authenticity of Julius Caesar? I've never heard it. 10 manuscripts. For the New Testament of the Bible, we have 23,000 manuscripts. I don't get it. People don't argue 10, but they argue 23,000? As one pastor puts it, I love to hear him say this, in order for the Bible to be changed, in order for the Bible to not be what God intended it to be, a bunch of overzealous monks had to find 23,000 documents, change them the exact same way, leaving no record that they were ever there in every single document. In other words, it's impossible. We can know that the Bible that we have today is exactly what God intended for us to have. It is reliable. It is true. It is trustworthy. It is faithful. We can know that what we have is right. We can know that it is the Word of God. And because it is the Word of God, there are no lies in it. And because it is the Word of God, it is what leads us. The Bible is what leads us and guides us. We can always know that the Bible leads us. What the Lord asks us to do is always right. Whether we like it or not, whether we agree with it or not, if God asks us to do something, it is always the right thing to do. No matter how hard it may be, no matter how difficult it might be, but as we look at the Word of God, as we see the text, what the text tells us to do is always right. And God is never going to ask us to do something that goes against His Word. The example that I like to use is, and I've been guilty of this in my past, is when we say, well, I'm going to date this non-Christian and hopefully I can lead them to Christ. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Well, I believe God has called me to date this person that's not a Christian. No, He didn't. Because that goes against His Word. That is a direct contradiction of what the Word of God says. And God is never going to contradict His Word. Well, I believe God told me. No, He didn't. God didn't tell you to go do that if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. When we seek to follow what He has asked of us, when we find that our hearts are glad. This is incredible to think about. When we obey God, our hearts are glad. I love this. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. There is joy when you and I know we've done the right thing. I don't know about you all, but I have never felt bad after I knew I did the right thing. Might have been hard, might have been difficult, but it always feels good when you know you've done the right thing. It always brings joy to the heart when you know you've done the right thing. The Word of God shows us the path. The path is Jesus. It is in the Word of God we see the path. The only path to heaven is Jesus. And the Word of God helps us to stay on that right path. Once we give our heart and our life to Jesus, the Bible teaches us how to stay on that path. It's right and true and brings joy to our hearts. God's Word gives nourishment to the heart of those who hear and heed what it has to say to them. As we enter into 2023, are we on the right path? One thing that I want us to look at as we begin this year, are we on the right path? Are we doing what God has called us to do? Are we serving Him as He has called us to serve? Do we want to live 2023 the way God would want us? I mean, that's a good question. Do we actually want to? Because sometimes we don't want to live the way God wants us to. Sometimes it could be because it's hard. We're afraid of what He might ask of us. We're afraid of what He might call us to do. And so sometimes that's a hard thing to say. Yes, do we want to live in 2023 the way God would want us to do? The Word will guide us in the path that is right and true. If we want to live in 2023, the way God wants us to, then we must follow the path that is laid out by the perfect, beautiful, sure, right, and true Word of God. Because it is the Word of God that opens our eyes. As we continue to see, it says, the commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, or bringing light to the eyes. And this again brings us back to the perfect nature of the Word of God. There is no fault in it. It is pure. There is no error in it. It is pure and clean and brings light to our life. It opens our eyes to what is real. It shows us what is true. The Word of God turns the light on. Or just for y'all today, I'm going to do this right. The Word of the Lord cuts the light on in our lives. It helps us to see what is real. It helps us to see what is true. It helps us to see what is there. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light of my path. The Word of God brings the light of truth into our lives. How do you know this is right? Because the Bible says so. How do you know this is wrong? Because the Bible says so. because the Bible has brought light into my life. How do you know that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Because the Bible says so. How do you know that God loves you? Because the Bible says so. How do you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior? Because the Bible says so. How do you know that God sent us a Savior? Because the Bible says so. The Bible turns the light on to what is truth. We live in a world that says there is no moral absolutes. That is not true. The Bible teaches us what the moral absolutes are. The Bible turns the light on to what is true, to what is good, to what is right, to what is pure. And because it is pure, because it is perfect, the Word of God lasts forever. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. It is the Bible is as powerful today as the day it was written. Many have tried to stop the Bible. Many have tried to destroy the Bible. But the Word of God is still as strong today as ever. The Bible is still as strong and as powerful as it has ever been. Jesus says in Luke 21, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." The Word of the Lord lasts forever. And what I really like about this passage is not only does it help us to see the beauty of the Word of God in our lives, but it also helps us to see our response to the Word of God. Where in verse 9 it says, "The fear of the Lord is clean." This is really cool. As we have talked about many times, the word fear means to stand in awe of God, to stand in reverence of God, to see God for who He is. But here's what's interesting. The word that's used for clean, it means pure, clean, or ceremonially clean. This is the word that would be used in the Old Testament for the people to be ceremonially clean. And here's where it gets fascinating. We know that in order for the people to even be in the camp, they had to be clean. If the people were not clean, they weren't even allowed to come in the camp, let alone the temple. As you read through the Old Testament law, as you read through Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you will see time and time again where it says if they have committed this sin, they have to be put outside of the camp for a certain amount of days until they are made clean, until they are ceremonially clean or right before God. And in order for them to be clean, they had to obey the commands of God. What caused them to not be clean? They did something God said don't do. A person became clean when they didn't do what God said. When they became unclean, there were things that they had to do in order to be clean again. There were certain rules that they had to follow. All right, you have been unclean, not necessarily bad. I mean, one of the things that made you unclean was if you touched a dead body. Well, that's not necessarily a sin or a bad thing. And so you would have to go outside of the camp. You would have to follow certain rules and rituals. There were certain commands. And only by following those commands would you be clean again and able to come into the camp. When they became unclean, they had to obey what God said in order to be clean again. As you and I fear the Lord, this should lead us to follow His words. When we fear Him as we should, when we fear God as the Bible tells us to, we will obey. And when we obey, we are clean. The fear of the Lord is clean. If we are to be ceremonially clean, if we are to be pure before Almighty Holy God, we are to obey His words in the fear of Holy God. That's pretty awesome. It's pretty cool to think about. We can know that His Word is forever. We can know that His Word is reliable. We can know that we can trust the Word of God. We can know that the Word of God is the way to go. And we can know that the Word of God is what's best for us. The Word of God is perfect and sure. The Word of God is right and pure. And finally, the Word of God is better than gold. Verse 10 and 11 says, "More to be desired are they than gold. Yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. The word of God is of great value. The psalmist tells us that the word of God is better than gold or honey. So in other words, what the psalmist is saying is that the word of God is better than food and money. Now, most of us are good Baptists, and so the concept of something being better than food is hard for us to understand. And then even more so, something being better than money. Because, I mean, on this earth, you know, in order to... we all have to eat. That's just true. We all have to have food. And in the world that we live in today, you have to have money in order to get food. Well, not if you farm. Ask a farmer how much it costs to produce food. Probably costs more than when you go to the grocery store. You can't eat for free. There is a cost somewhere in there. And so we need food, we need money for food, and we all need to eat. But the psalmist says the word of God is better than food and money on this earth. There is nothing of more value than the word of God, for we know that Jesus is the word of God, and in him and him alone do we have life. We know that the Bible is God's word for us so that we know how to know him and grow in our walk with him. Pastor Tony Evans says, the Bible is more precious than your paycheck. Let me ask this question. And as I was reading, as I was studying, this really hit me. Do you and I look as forward to reading our Bible as we do with payday? Are we as excited to get up and read the Bible as we are to get paid? Does the Bible bring as much joy as when that paycheck clears the bank account? I wonder if we treat the Bible as it's more precious than our paycheck. Do we treat the Bible as precious? Do we read it, study it? Or is it just some book that sits on a desk collecting dust? Now, we might bring it out Sunday morning so we can go to church and look like a good Christian because we carry our Bible with us. But that's the only time we ever open it or look at it. More to be desired are they. The commands of God, the word of God, the law of God, the psalmist says, is more to be desired than gold and honey. The word of the Lord is more valuable than anything. It helps us to see how important the Bible is. Can you and I live without food? No. I mean, you can go 7 days, maybe a little bit more without food. Now, most of us think we can't go more than 7 minutes without food. But generally speaking, you can go about 7 or 8 days without food and be okay as long as you have water. The word of God, we can't live without. Just like you and I cannot live without food, we cannot live without the Bible. And I'm going to step on a little bit of toes this morning because I think it's important to do this. You know, it amazes me, the people that show up for business meeting on Wednesday nights, but they won't show up for Bible study on Wednesday nights. I'll come when I get to tell people what I want to do, but I'm not going to come to grow in my walk with God. You know, we have more people to show up on business meeting than we do Bible study. That's kind of sad. It's kind of heartbreaking. Well, I'm going to come when I get to tell people what to do, but I'm not going to come to hear what God has to say. Do we take the Word of God seriously? Do we want to grow in our walk with Christ? Do we want to study it? Do we want to grow? Do we want to be the men and women that God has called us to be? We cannot live without the Bible. We cannot live without the Word of God. We need it. The Word warns us how to live. The psalmist continues by saying that by the word we are warned. It says, moreover, by them your servant is warned. And in keeping them, there is great reward. The people are told that if they do not obey God, they will lose the land. They disobey God and they lose the land. The people are told, don't go fight them or you will lose. They go fight them and lose. In Numbers 13 and 14, we see that the spies come back from the land. They say the land is good, but we can't beat them. They rebel against God. And then God says, okay, no fighting men over the age of 20 will be able to enter into the land. And so, all right. They said, oh, we were wrong. We're going to go fight them now. And God says, it's too late. You're going to lose. But they go anyway. They disobey God and they lose. Throughout the Bible, we see God warn the people about what is coming. And when they do not obey, there is always consequences. There is always consequences when people do not obey the word of God. The word is a warning to us of how we are to live our lives and what will happen if we do not follow after and obey what God has called us to do. When we do obey, we see the rewards that comes from our great and awesome God. I love this. When you and I obey the word of God, there is always blessing. Abraham was told to leave his family and all that he knew, and that God would make him a great nation. He obeyed God, and Abraham became a great nation. Noah was told to build a boat. He obeyed, and he and his family were saved from the flood. Philip was told to leave a successful ministry and go to the desert. He goes to the desert and finds an Ethiopian eunuch ready to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul sees Jesus on the road of Damascus and is told to go preach to the Gentiles. He obeys. And almost half of the New Testament is written by the Apostle Paul. When the people of God obey God, blessing always comes. When people obey God, he rewards them. This does not mean that there won't be troubles, because let's face it, Paul experienced a whole lot of trouble. So did Abraham and Noah and all of those. But there is always blessings when we follow God. This does not mean our lives will be perfect. Even so, when we obey, we will see blessings. Do we want to be blessed by God in 2023? Do you and I want the blessing of God upon us in 2023? It begins with obeying the word of God. The word of God has been given to us to encourage us, to strengthen us, to bring us joy, and challenge us in our lives. The word of God is better than a good friend. The word of God will always be there for us. As we enter into 2023, it is my prayer that we will live each day in the Word of God. So here are my challenges for us as a church in 2023. Challenge number one, will you commit to reading just a little bit more of the Bible in 2023? That's the first challenge. Will you commit to reading just a little bit more of the Word in 2023? Will you commit to a Bible study in 2023? I want to challenge everyone in 2023 to commit to a small group Bible study. We have Sunday school, that's a small group Bible study. We have Sunday night, that's a small group Bible study. We have Wednesday night, that is a small group Bible study. If none of those times work for you, let me know and I will create a new Bible study. Now, if one of those don't work for some reason or the other, you let me know and we will find a way to get you in a small group Bible study. That's how important it is for us to be involved in a small group Bible study. Will you commit to Jesus in 2023 if you've never made that decision? You might be here this morning and you've never made that decision to give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. Will you commit to giving your heart and your life to Jesus in 2023? And will you commit to letting the Bible guide your life in 2023? Will you say, you know what? I'm going to let the Word of God guide my heart and my life in 2023. As we move forward into 2023, there's a couple things that I would like to see as pastor. This is just a dream of mine. I would love to see more people come into our business meetings. I would love to see more people come into our Wednesday night Bible studies. I would love to see us growing together on Wednesdays in our walk with Jesus Christ. And then as we grow in our walk with Jesus Christ together in the Bible study, we will bring Christ with us into the business meetings. Because here's something to think about. When we come to business meetings, if we've not been studying the Bible, if we've not been praying, how can we say we're telling what the will of God is? Everything comes from our relationship with God. And our relationship with God comes from spending time in the Word of God, hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Will you commit in 2023 to the Word of God? That is my challenge to us as a church. I want to read the text one more time. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. The Word of God is beautiful and powerful, and it is an incredible gift that God has given to us. Often, when the new year comes, we make resolutions, and within a week, we've done broke them. So I challenge you, make one resolution to spend more time in the Word of God, and don't give up on it. You will be glad you did. It's incredible. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this day, and we thank you for the incredible Word of God that you have given to us. Lord, we pray that if there's someone here this morning that does not know you, that they will begin 2023 by accepting you as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would see their need for Jesus in their lives, and that they would say yes to Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would be with each of us, helping us to live out your word. Lord, I know there's areas in my life where I don't obey your commands, where I don't do as I should, and I ask for forgiveness, and I pray that in 2023 that I would get better at obeying those commands. Lord, I pray that for each of us as we look at our lives, each and every one of us struggle with sin in some way, shape, or form. Each of us struggle in some way to obey your word. And I pray that you would encourage us and help us in 2023 to pick one area of our life that does not line up with the word of God, and to see if we can grow in that area for you. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We give this time to you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. As we have our song of invitation, hymn number 434, whatever God is saying, will you come?